thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX, Inc., that's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C, and PAX, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way, when you visit the website, you can check out the codes of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved. You can check out the Learning Center. As a matter of fact, if you hover your mouse over that Learning Center, see a drop-down box with resources that you can use. Also, check out that store. Once again, that website correctly is www.pactsinc.org. And the website that's always on my mind is our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, the home of the livest podcast you have ever seen. And shout out to our audience, because we got the greatest podcast audience in the Mickey Ficky world, really going down in the South. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Shelby Davis, Queen Candace, and Enigma Self-Doubt. And remember, March 7th, if you're in the Tallahassee and surrounding areas, we got the live podcast going down. All you got to do is go to Eventbrite, type in Freedom Train Network, and you'll see our event come up. Go ahead and get your ticket, or you can go to Facebook, and type in Freedom Train Network, go to our page, there's an event pinned at the top of the page, bam, open up the event. Get your tickets, or if you're on Instagram, all you got to do is go to the Freedom Train bio, or at Freedom Train Network bio, or at The Real Joseph Ward bio, and bam, right at the top of that link tree, everything you need in your life is right there. Once again, Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where it's really going down. Pat!
What up?
What it look like?
Look like four dolphins eating a flamingo ass.
Why? Hey man, if that's how you feel, bro, I mean, don't let nobody steal your joy.
I was joyous. That didn't happen.
I cracked that 2 tears of joy. That's what that is.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying that at all. No, man, I've been good. You know, I've been sick, but I've been grinding. You know, it's been
grinding.
Yeah, right around about this time of year. Continuing on to right around about this time next year. It's always a busy time of the year around about this time for me.
Yeah, it do be busy. I generally be busy a lot, dealing with my job and the stuff I do in the community. So I'm generally busy all the time, and I'm about to start writing On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 4, The Caribbean as well. I'm about to start writing that.
Shit popping.
You know what I'm talking about? I be on Skillshare. So if anybody from Skillshare out there, you hear this podcast, hey man, go ahead and sponsor us, because we dang the whole show. I shout y'all out, but I got me a little 60-day trial on Skillshare, so I'm get on as much as possible and learn some marketing, master the marketing stuff. I'm talking about become a master marketer. I'm talking about. Man, once again, shout out to our listeners, too. Man. Everybody who listens to Freedom Train Podcast Series, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all. Shout out to my homeboy, Didi. Homeboy Didi be listening in to us, man. So shout out to Didi. Didi, man, I appreciate you, cuz. Straight up.
Word. And shout out to Man, though.
Here you go. I'm being serious, and here you come.
My fault.
Old Scoop Bowl head face. Man, hey, but before we get to our topics, hey, man, so you know how we had the show last week, and one of the topics we had was talking about politics and candidates and things, right?
Right.
So it's on YouTube. I can't remember the name of the lady's show right now that I was watching, but the guest that she had on it was talking about Bloomberg and how, you know, they went through all the fucked up stuff that Bloomberg did you know, systematically. Well, but was like, if he's a candidate, I'm still voting for him. And, you know, because one of the things we talked about was not voting for the lesser evils. Like I was telling my intern the other day, man, you got to, folk got to earn your vote, man. Like, folk can't just get your vote just because they candidate for a party that you represent or a party that you like, and they just the last one standing. If you don't like that person, don't give them your vote. Like, people got to earn your vote. Like, votes ain't goddamn free. You shouldn't be just giving your vote away. It's just like, it's crazy, like, to hear that lady say that and, like, be dead serious and then have people look in the comments and seeing people agreeing with it. It's like, man, y'all crazy, man. You got to earn my goddamn vote.
Well, you know, people are serious about beating Trump, you know, and then you got all of the mayors going on board. We saw that article not too long ago, I believe, was shared in one of our line groups, talking about how Stacey Abrams was going to host Mike Bloomberg in a open town hall event or something or another after he donated $5 million to one of her nonprofit organizations. So the man is showing that, you know, with money, you can make people forget about a lot of shit.
Yeah. Because I know I keep hearing commercial on the radio about him creating jobs and, like, they got black women, commercials of black women talking about some of the things that he did in New York as far as job creation for black people and stuff and other people of color. So, but
yeah,
I'm like, man.
My one-off, I want to, you know, talk about flat earthers.
You got to talk about your homeboy.
Yeah,
they got to talk about your homeboy.
Took a real bad hit this past week.
Flat earthers took a hit when they admitted that they was flat earthers. Let me just say that. Joseph Ward said that. Yes, I did.
Well, they took another hit this past week when Mad Mike Hughes.
yeah, I saw that.
He was building the rocket ship. Now, I don't know if it's true or not that he was actually building the rocket ship to launch him high enough in the air to be able to verify whether the Earth was flat or not.
That's what the reports are, though.
That's what the reports are. So I don't know if it's true or not, but that's the word on the street. And it's the word on every street that I done been on. And that's internet streets, too. So, you know, your boy took a hit. He only got 5,000 feet up in the air. Seems like there was some sort of malfunction where the homemade rocket, was rubbing off against the launch platform and ended up ripping the parachute so that, you know, basically he just free fell from 5,000 feet. And that's a long free fall.
Yeah.
Explosion. He died. So y'all took a hit. And unfortunately, he didn't uncover any new knowledge that couldn't be uncovered by getting on a goddamn airplane and taking a flight from one place to another, which would have got him exponentially higher than 5,000 feet.
Well, that's also another reason why he should have, like, thought about what he was doing. Like, if I can get on an airplane and not see the edge of the earth, or, you know, whatever he was looking for, if I can't see that on the airplane, then how you going to see it on your rocket?
Because aircraft go, what, 25,000, 30,000 feet up in the air?
Way higher than he was going to go on this homemade.
Yeah, way higher.
But they said, because I saw this donkey a day on the Breakfast Club, and they was like, that's his second time doing something like that. Like, the first time he fell, he broke his back. But he ain't learned his lesson.
Nah, and then, well, you know, but it's hard to learn your lesson when you got a bunch of people cheering for you.
That's true, too.
Congratulations.
Egging you on. Yeah. Egging you on. Hey, Buford. It's true. The earth is flat. I know it is.
I mean, he even had the goddamn Science Discovery Channel out there. Like, come on. Y'all should have known better. Y'all should have been like the first, bro. I don't think this is a good idea.
Man, that remind me of, I can't remember the name of the series. It was something on YouTube I was watching. And they had flat earthers, like, debating astrophysicists and, like, people who like I think somebody was NASA, a couple astrophysicists, like a lot of scientists and stuff, like people who actually really study this stuff, like. And it was just amazing how the flat earth is just going back and forth about just like adamant about NASA lying to everybody to keep them in the dark about the earth being flat. Like, but it's like the thing about that is people knew the earth was round thousands of years before NASA was even thought of.
Right.
And same thing. I'm going to keep saying. The only other time in human history when people thought the earth was flat was in Europe, famine in Europe, where a lot of people had no education, didn't know how to read and write, and they thought the earth was flat. They weren't the smartest people.
I mean, let's be real. You know how we like to say, and it's true, but you know people like to say slavery interrupted black history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, flat earth interrupted regular old astrology. Like, all before that, people knew that the earth was flat, and quickly the earth was round, and quickly afterwards people knew that the earth was round. So you only really had this like brief speck of time where people thought the earth was flat.
Right.
I don't know where these it just doesn't make it.
Yeah. And then when celebrities jump on it, it don't help. So.
Nah, it doesn't. You know, celebrity worth it. We done talked about that in a couple shows.
Yeah. Forget you guys. Hey, so today we got two topics. We're talking about the murder of Anitra Gunn, and we're going to talk about the Harvey Weinstein case and verdict. His punk ass. But we're going to start with Anitra Gunn. And if you don't know about Anitra, I'll give you some background information. So she was a student at Fort Valley University. She was strangled to death, according to an arrest warrant that was released on Monday. Her boyfriend, DeMarcus Little, who's 23, a U.S. Army soldier stationed at Fort Gordon, has been charged with malice murder. Gunn was manually strangled on February 14th on the day she was reported missing, the warrant said, and the arrest warrant said that. A graduate of Fulton County's Westlake High, Gunn was killed in the woods where her body was found covered in sticks after a days-long search, according to the warrant. She was 23 years old. Authorities have not released the motive. Little previously had been charged with criminal damage to property stemming from a February 5th incident that left Anitra Gunn's window broken in her tire slash. He was granted $1,000 bond hours before the GBI announced he had been charged with malice murder. In a court appearance Monday, Little was denied bond. Gunn's funeral is set for 11 a.m. on Saturday at Green. That's in Alabama. Fort Valley State students gathered on campus Monday night for a vigil on campus. Yada yada yada. So basically, young black girl with a future killed by some fuckboy. So one of the things we want to make sure we cover the story, because we want to make sure that we're using our platform to talk about things that happen to black people as a whole, and black women are black people. So we're going to make sure we talk about things that go to them. But Pat, I know you did your background. Love reading up on this. When you first read about this story, because I know you probably, I don't know if you knew about it when I first told you about it, but as you read about it, what were some of the thoughts and feelings that you were going through?
No, I hadn't heard about it before you mentioned it. And that's, you know, it's one of them things where me being out of the loop on so much, you know, I get a lot of the information I get about stuff like this from you and a couple other people that bring it to my attention. But my, you know, it was just another one. Actually, I'm gonna be honest, my very first thought was I had just had a conversation with a group of kids about whether or not black people were beginning to accept the stereotypes and act out the stereotypes about ourselves. And one of those stereotypes is that We are in dysfunctional relationships, and that black men are abusive and are going to mistreat black women. And so if we're being totally honest, that was my first thought, was I just fucking had a conversation with a group of kids about black men's relationship with black women. And here is another bad example of that relationship on display. And, you know, from there it was just like, look, we got to do better. That's not even taking sides on no simping shit. That's just, like, as black men, we fucking just got to do better about how we treat black women.
That's where I was going with this.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with this, because this is one of them stories that make me like, man, can we just fuck him up? I mean, we know we can't just fuck him up and just put him back out of society or whatever. The motherfucker need to be rehabbed. We always talk about that. But my initial thoughts and stuff, can we just fuck him up and others like him? Because this is something that, you know, grinds your gears. I'm going to just use that. Grind your gears, something like this, because did he not? It's like Buddy can't control himself. Right? She didn't have to die because of whatever they had going on wasn't that serious for her to die. It couldn't have been that serious for her to die. And for him to strangle her out like that, that's it. Make you mad. It makes me mad. It makes me mad. I say that. That's what it does. It makes me mad.
Like, when you think about, like, to strangle somebody to death, that's not like a snap decision. You know, that's, because it ain't like a motherfucker just dies the moment you wrap their hands around your hands around their throats. You got to hold it there for a minute. You know, like, so during this entire time, like, what's happening? Like, what are you thinking? What's going on?
Well, he's already been charged with damaging property, so they had something, they had some issues, and he was just granted bond from that first incident, and then upon the bond, he goes and kill her.
And she probably thought she was being a good chick by standing by him through all of that.
I don't know, because, see, that's the thing, like, have you come across any information to see how long they may have had issues?
I hadn't. Everything I read was just about
this particular story.
Between them. I did read a little bit about him getting into a little bit of trouble.
Right.
But I didn't see a whole lot going deep into that.
Yeah, man, it's like, come on, bro. Like, I feel bad for her in the situation, feel bad for the family who have to go through that, loved ones and things like that. It's just, it's unfortunate to have to lose another young lady, because I'm not going to lie, man, I get overwhelmed every day. I'm on social media. I see a missing poster about a black girl or a black woman. And it's like, damn, like, that's a lot. So I honestly, like, even like, I'd be worried about my mom sometimes making it back home with the way stuff going on. And it just make you want to just go around and just like have a gun and just waiting on somebody to be stupid, just shoot them in the face. But you know, that ain't, you know, it don't happen like that. They catch people slipping. They catch people when they're vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, like, in this instance, we got to be aware, because not only was she failed, but somewhere along the lines, he was failed as well.
Right.
And I know one of the things that, you know, I was talking to little girls about this before I had a daughter, and now that I have a daughter, that gives me even more incentive to continue to talk about these things. But and the reason I brought up is that she probably thought she was a stand-up chick by sticking by him is that I've known a lot of women who thought that they were doing right by their man by standing by them when they dude was going through some shit, and then they dude end up snapping. Now, I haven't met anybody that was killed because of it, but I have met a number of women who got their asses beat behind a dude getting in trouble over something not being able to control himself. And then the next thing you know, he is not controlling himself all over her. You know, likewise, I've seen not nearly as much, but I have seen cases where men are in situations where they with a woman that's fucking them up. But the fact of the matter is, I said to anybody, if you're in a relationship with somebody who is in trouble for not being able to control themselves emotionally, you're in a dangerous situation. I ain't telling you to leave. I ain't telling you to stay. But I'm telling you that you're in a dangerous fucking situation. Well, you need to act accordingly.
I tell them, if you're in a relationship with somebody who can't control themselves emotionally, leave. It's going to be an unhealthy situation. That's what I would say. I ain't saying I'm right or wrong. That's just what I would say. But clearly he couldn't control himself emotionally. Clearly, that's why we're talking about it.
Not even close. I mean, again, it ain't like he broke her neck or not. Like, you know how long you got to be mad to strangle somebody to death?
So, all right, so my question as a man and to other men listening, because a lot of times things like this will happen and men will gather, men will meet, they'll talk to get started of doing things in the community, and it don't really phase out. I mean, it don't really, it actually phases out, doesn't really turn fruit, you know, come to fruition. And it's, okay, so as men, how do we get over the two-week wave and actually do something that has some longevity to actually help better protect our black women and ourselves and our children? For the men listening, and hey, comment on the post, wherever you listening to this, comment. And if whatever platform you listening to, you can't comment on that, go to freedomtrainradio.com, go to Freedom Train Network, you'll see 2020 podcast, this will be the first 2020 podcast link, this will be the first podcast you'll see in the 2020 podcast link, and comment, tell us what we could, and don't give us no superficial stuff. We ain't trying to, my brother, we need to come together and unite. We ain't talking about that. We need some real strategy, real plans if you have them. You can save the frivolous stuff. You can save the superficial talk. You can save stuff to try to make yourself sound blacker than everybody else. Save that real stuff.
Yeah, so, cause that definitely got to be something more than we got to come together, because that, come together and do it.
Anybody trying to hear that? Anybody? Right. We know we got to come together, but when we come together, what the hell are we gonna do? We know we got to raise our families. We know we got to treat the women right. We know these things. How do we do it? Tell us how do we do it in practical manners, practical means that we can go out and do. And I'm not saying I have to answer, but one thing I do know is we have to be consistent. Like, yeah. And usually in my community, I'm one of the last few standing. Usually, when we come together to do something, I'm usually one of the last standing. I ain't trying to toot no horn. All I'm saying is, if we don't get serious, more serious about the things that we need to do in our community to make sure we protect it, we're gonna continue to be in this situation, in this place. We're gonna continue to be in this place. It'll be 50 years from now. And the adults then still gonna be talking about the same stuff. How do we protect our women and our children? How about let's do something different now?
And I'll say this, because I know I've said that I read a report that said she was strangled, and I read a couple other reports that said they didn't know the cause of death. So that's, if you're hearing me say I'm strangled and it comes out that she wasn't strangled, then I'm talking about the one report I saw that actually had a cause of death on it. I do acknowledge that there were other reports out there that said that a cause of death hasn't been announced yet. So I might be wrong. But it doesn't change the core of what I'm saying, in that this dude was fucking out of control. It doesn't change that. So I just want to put that out there, because I do know that there is a chance that a report could come out that says that maybe she was poisoned, or maybe she was this, or maybe she was that. Whatever the fact is, she was murdered. Intentionally.
And she shouldn't have been.
Right.
She should still be alive. Whatever that was going through shouldn't have been. His way of dealing with it was totally uncalled for, and he needed his ass whooped for it.
And as men, we got to remember stories like this when black women, even if we don't care for them, those particular black women that say it, even if we don't care for the way they say it or blah, 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 we got to keep stories like this in mind when we hear any black woman say that she don't feel comfortable and she don't feel safe around a black man. Like, when you look at stories like this and they come out far too frequently, we can't sit here and, you know, at some point you get to the point where it's not enough to say, well, the vast majority of men ain't going to hurt you. Because, okay, well, how do she
differentiate? Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's hard to prove that in the climate that we're in.
Right.
It's hard. Now, it doesn't feel good to hear a black woman say she don't feel safe around black men. But when I hear that, I remind myself that she ain't talking about me. But she is, but she ain't, but she is, but she ain't. And the reason I say she isn't is because I know I'm not one of those black men who do the crazy stuff to make women feel uncomfortable. So I know I'm one of the black men who actually working to make things safer for black women. But I also understand that if they don't know me,
right,
we all would look alike. We all, they're going to perceive all of us the same because they don't know me. And so I can't take offense to it. I have to this is the time where we as men put ourselves in the place of understanding and understanding why they're saying this, and don't get your drawers all up in your ass because right. They said that. And you like, man, she can't be talking about me. Well, if you know she ain't talking about you, you shouldn't be taking offense. But you have to be understanding.
I mean, I think the way you said it sums it up perfectly. You know that you ain't going to do nothing to her, but she don't know that.
Right.
I mean, it don't get any more simple than that. Because, you know, like, so in that sense, and we got to evaluate all of the conversations we're having with black women like that. Similarly, black women have to do the same with black men, but since we're not talking about that right now, you know, but I got to throw that out there because it'll be some listener somewhere that'll be like, yeah, well, what about all of it? We get that, but we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about this. And the fact of the matter is that if I'm a sister, I don't know which black man
right.
is good and which black man is bad.
Okay, it's just like the analogy Muhammad Ali used with the
right.
thousand snakes. So you got 1,000 snakes coming at you. 100 of those 1,000 snakes are not poisonous. So do you let all 1,000 snakes in to try to sort out the 100 who are not poisonous, or do you keep them all out? So if we as black people can have that idea or that guard up when it comes to white people, you can, I mean, with black women, if they're not feeling safe around us, they're going to have that same guard up. And you can't get all up in your feelings about it. Like, just make sure that your actions are positive actions, and that way, over time, you know, they'll see where you at. But you can't just, like, man, you can't just begin mad. You got to have some damn understanding at some point.
I mean, you know what? If you want to get mad, get mad. But get mad at the right people. Get mad at people like this dude who are making it hard out here for the stand. It's like when we talk about the women that falsely accuse people of rape and how they're making it harder for the people that are actually raped. That same logic of community tax, community taxation, cultural taxation, gender-based taxation applies to every situation. Every time a dude like this gets put on the news or put on blast for doing some fucked up shit to some black woman, you have to pay a portion of that black man tax that is being applied to the group that you belong to. If you don't want to keep having to pay that tax, be proactive in making sure that these motherfuckers can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, if you're mad at somebody, be mad at the motherfuckers who are doing this and the motherfuckers who sit around knowing motherfuckers just doing this and ain't doing nothing about it.
Oh, yeah, because you know he had friends and homeboys and maybe even some family members.
You got to talk about the bystanders. Right. You got to talk about the bystanders.
You know, that knew that he wasn't right, but they ain't want to, you know, man, not my home. But, man, if you really care about a motherfucker, you would step in before they find themselves in a situation like this.
Like, I was looking at something that's similar but not all the way the same, but it was three parties. It was two girls and a guy. And the girl was like Facebook. She was on Facebook Live while the girl who was supposed to be her friend was in the back getting raped by this dude. And it's like, you got to, once again, men got to understand, man, especially with the way the media works and social media works. Like, we're getting bombarded. I just told you I get overwhelmed about the amount of stories that I come across of black women just missing. So, put yourself in the black woman's shoes if every day you hear a new story about a black woman missing. You're going to be weary as well. So if you're mad about that shit, do something about the fuck shit that's going on so women, the black women won't have to be afraid. That's all I got to say about that. So, our second top level coach is about NASDAQ's Harvey Weinstein. And Harvey got sentenced. Harvey ended up in court. Harvey ended up getting sentenced. But we're finna break this thing down for you. You heard me? So, Pat, what you know about Harvey, man? What you know about Harvey, bro? I know you've been on this. I know you've been researching. Tell us what you got.
Yeah, I because I was a little frustrated with this, not just with the sentencing, but the response to the sentencing. Everybody's acting like this is some sort of major victory. So the man was faced with four or five charges, right?
Yeah, five.
And we all know who Harvey Weinstein is in this case, right? I hope we don't have to go that far back, I hope. I'm saying that like I'm waiting for the audience to answer. Like, so anyways, Harvey Weinstein, big time movie mogul, who basically was accused of sexual assault by a number of women, rape, not sexual assault, he was accused of rape by a number of women. And this was a number of years back. A lot of people like to credit it with the start of the Me Too movement. It was not the start of the Me Too movement. If anything, it was the start of the appropriation of the Me Too movement by white women, rich white women at that. But the Me Too movement was started more than a decade ago. Actually, I think it's about two decades now by a black woman. I forget her name at this point. I remembered it all the way up until I was getting ready to say it. But anyways. So he got charged, and basically what he got charged with was two cases of rape, and he got charged with two cases of predatory sexual assault, and he got charged with a criminal sex act. And so what he got convicted of was rape in the third degree, which is the lightest rape conviction you can get. It only carries a sentence of at maximum 4 years, no minimum. and criminal sex act in the first degree. And this is the one where everybody's like he could get up to 25 years because this guy has a maximum of 25-year sentences. A 25-year sentence. I think it has a minimum of like 9 or 10 years or something like that. But it's a Class B felony. So it's a serious felony, but it's not the most serious felony because the most serious felony is a Class A felony. So those were the two things he got convicted of. Now, the two things that he did not get, or the three things he did not get convicted of, was the rape in the first degree. Now, here's the difference between third-degree rape and first-degree rape. And there is a second-degree rape in there, but the jurors were told to make a decision between third-degree and first-degree. They were not allowed to consider second-degree. But basically, the difference between first-degree and third-degree for the purposes of this case is forcible compulsion. Were these women physically forced or forced by some form of power to perform an act that they didn't want to perform? And while it would seem to most of us that the obvious answer is yes, they were forced to do something, this case did not, the jury was given intricate instructions and they determined that forcible compulsion was not there.
Well, they said that the defendants had a weak-ass case. And let me read this real quick. They said the prosecutors held that the verdict was a win. Abdallah is one of the Weinstein lawyers. However, said prosecutors were unable to persuade the jury to officially declare Weinstein a sexual predator under New York law. They said the prosecutors had a weak case. I can understand them feeling victorious because they had such a weak case. And that's not just my opinion. And it was the opinion of the jury. So, like, you know, they were, and I've seen that several times. Like, basically, I was saying earlier that all charges might get thrown out. He might walk because of the weak-ass case that the prosecutors had against him.
Yeah, and we've seen that before where prosecutors present a bad case. We saw that actually in the Zimmerman trial. And in a couple of other trials where we saw the prosecution just did a shitty job of presenting what should have been a very clear case. And we also got to remember that the jurors are not allowed to consider anything that wasn't presented during the trial. So they're not allowed to go off what the news footage said. They're not allowed to go off of new information that might be circulating through various means. They're only allowed to consider what's presented during the trial itself in terms of their deliberation. So they determined that it was not first degree rape, which would have carried life imprisonment. And they also determined that there was no first degree rape. I forget what the minimax is for that, but I do know the two counts of predatory assault, those were the two most serious felonies that he was tried for. The only thing more serious than this Class A felony is predatory assault against a child. So again, the only thing that would have made this charge worse than anything else he could have been charged with was if he was doing it against a child. And there were two cases of this. This punishment, this charge carries life sentencing behind bars, and he got cleared for it. And so it's one of those things where you're kind of like, what? And so according to the New York Penal Code, you can be found guilty of predatory sexual assault if you're determined to be guilty of first-degree rape, criminal sexual act, or aggravated sexual abuse against more than one person.
It's like, I feel like they had to convict him on something, but he still got the rich white man treatment, though. It was like, it's so much, we can't just throw everything out. But let's throw out the most serious charges and make it look like we really got him, but he really got off.
Right, and basically what they're saying is since we didn't convict him of rape in the first degree, we can't convict him of predatory sexual assault. That's essentially what they're saying. And that's where you run into this issue of, and then there were, you know, you could talk about all of the other women that were there, but he only got charged a rape in the third degree of one person. So, again, for predatory sexual assault to occur, you have to be found guilty of rape in the first degree, or, if I'm understanding what I've been reading correctly, you have to be convicted of rape in the first degree, or you have to be convicted of raping more than one person. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. It seems to me like they just wanted to give people a bone, and it seems like it worked. It seems like people are like, yeah, we finally turned the corner. We're finally getting somewhere. When this man, who, by all accounts, is a serial rapist,
right, kept going
and all of that, he did forcibly compel these women to perform oral sex and physical sex with him. There was a power dynamic at play where, if they did not comply, there were going to be severe consequences that could be viewed as a threat. And he did this over and over again for a period of decades. And this is what we come out with, and people are like, this is a victory. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much to say about that, because it's, I mean, kind of summed that up, like, you got the rich white man treatment. They couldn't pull the affluenza thing, because, like I said, it's too much. Like, so people like Weinstein, people like Jeffrey Epstein, people like Larry Nassar, people like Bernie Madoff, it'd just be too much, because it's too much that was accumulated over time, so you can't just be like, well, they ain't do nothing. And they did something. So, and then, but now, you know, from this, a lot of the, especially the black community, their thing is they're looking at Oprah and Gayle like, all right, let's see, same types of interviews and same type of ridicule and thing that you do with black men, let's see you do that to them. But, of course, we know we're not going to get that, but yeah. No, they're going to get their backlash from that. But it's just, like, man, look at him, man. Like, once again, that's why a lot of women don't feel safe for shit like this. If you got the right amount of money, because we know he's gonna get that rich white, that old rich white man treatment and his old rich white man prison environment. So he ain't gonna be in there with nothing now. He ain't gonna be in there with Triple K, because he named Carl Kanai. He killer Carl. Whatever the name's, but Killer Carl Knight, Triple K. He ain't gonna be in there with them. He's gonna be in there with goddamn Mr. Bloomberg, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck Harvey Weinstein.
I just don't know how you could look at this and say it's a win. On NPR this morning, they were interviewing a bunch of women and asking them how this case made them feel. And, you know, the women were like, it feels good to know that men would be held accountable. And in my mind, I was just thinking, but they just kept saying he was convicted and found guilty. And I just kept thinking to myself, is anybody really going to dig into the charges? Like, he wasn't found, they're saying he was found guilty as if he was convicted of everything.
Right.
Like, the man had five charges brought against him. And they found the two lightest charges they could find to convict him of. So, like, and then it was, and the only reason, again, I agree with you, the only reason he got the conviction was just, it was just too much. It was too much for you to say, nah, we not going to convict him of nothing. Like, you can't do that. But, you know, because if you do that, people lose all faith in the Justice Department, in the judicial system, and the whole fucking thing collapses. So we can't do that, but how can we still make this light? And then, you know, in the appeal process, so I don't think that everything is going to be appealed away, but I do think it wouldn't surprise me if he got a sentence that was, you know, like less than 10 years. You know, something that's like
because sentencing hasn't happened yet. So when's the date again?
March 11th is when the sentencing is supposed to happen.
Right. So Yeah, because I know at work earlier today, somebody was telling me he's 25 years, and I just read that he's like up to 29. So.
I don't know, man. I don't. It doesn't make sense to me how people could look at this as a victory. To me, this was more along the lines of maintaining the system as is, with as little disruption to the status quo as possible.
Yeah, they just like I said, they had to do something. But if they're throwing out the most serious charges, you know, that's for a specific reason. That's that white advantage. But they had to give his ass something.
And then on the other end, like going back to NPR this morning, this lady called in, and she was like, it makes me feel like if I tell somebody, something will happen. Because I deal with this all the time in my job. And sometimes I feel like even when I talk about it, I'm making myself more of a nuisance. Like people aren't going to care about the fact that I've been violated. And this makes me feel like people will. And in that sense, it's kind of like, well, I'm happy this makes you happy, but people still aren't going to care. This was not, like if he had gotten across the board convicted, guilty, 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 all across the board, that's one thing. But in my opinion, I've always viewed this Harvey Weinstein thing as, any sort of acquittals on any level is not a victory. It's just not. Anything that they're going to say that he did not do, when we know that he did all of it, is not a victory. And so
right.
This is kind of like, this is kind of like, you know, the KKK busting into your house and killing your family. And leaving you in ICU, the only reason you survived is because they thought you were dead. And then you go to trial, and they get convicted of breaking and entering, and that's it. Like, is that a victory? Like, why didn't they get all of the counts of murder? Why didn't they get all of the counts of torture, of premeditation, and this? Why didn't they get all of those other counts? All of that shit was dropped. The only thing they got them on was breaking and entering. That's how I view this. Like, we had to get
yeah.
And so this shit, I don't know, man. The more I think about it, and I know I'm talking in a circle, but that's just because the more I think about it, and I've had a lot of time to think about this, the more I'm like, and then it's like, why am I more upset about this than the women are that I know?
Man, look. People are numb. You know, I've always talked about it. Now, I haven't talked. Well, the women I know most people I know haven't even really dug deep into it like this, to be honest. So that's why I was about to say the women I know were angry, but then I thought about it, they weren't angry. We were just having a regular conversation about it. There was no really emotion to it. But people have become numb to things like this, And I don't think people have really sat down and dug into it like this as well. But the outrage, man, I mean, you know, usually, man, me and you be the only ones outraged, man. Men and women. So.
Yeah, I don't get it, bro. I don't. On a side note, I'm still getting, I just literally got a message from somebody talking about what the fuck Deontay Wilder. So, you know, this is
you still talking about Deontay Wilder.
It's not even me. Like, I'm sitting here venting about Harvey Weinstein. My phone go off. I check my message, and it's somebody talking about what the fuck Deontay Wilder. So, it's, like, apparently that loss was a real big deal. So, you know,
yeah. Well, yeah, especially when he came out, because he's saying he lost not because he had that big ass suit on.
Yeah, that's
40-pound suit.
That was exactly the message I just got. This motherfucker, yeah. Came out, he lost because of the big ass suit. Fuck Deontay Wilder. That's verbatim what the message said.
Hey, man. and threw us off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't. Usually, I don't check my phone during.
It's all good. That's funny though. That's funny.
Oh yeah, man. This Harvey Weinstein shit, man. Even our sis that we usually, you know, be ride or die with us on this feminist shit and this you know, we don't really use that word. But on all this other shit, even she was like, well, you know, he could have been found not guilty of all of them, so.
But he could have been found guilty on all of them as well.
Right.
I mean, but like I say, man, I think people are just satisfied that it's Harvey Weinstein and he's going to jail for some time. Even if Harvey spent 10 days, people would be happy.
I wonder if he's going to get more time than Bill Cosby got.
How much time Bill got again?
You know what? I think he got 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I remember he did get 10 years because that was his big thing back in the day about whether, you know, if he apologized and showed remorse, they would reduce his sentence. But he was like, I'm not going to apologize or show remorse for nothing.
Yeah, they were trying to embarrass him at that point.
Yeah, so he got 3 to 10 years, and he probably going to serve all 10 of them.
Yeah, well, he better get at least that. Harvey ass better get at least that, man. Like,
I'm sticking to my 5 to 9 projection. If I'm wrong, I'll come on and say I was wrong. But if Bill got 10, that makes me even more confident that he's going to get 5 to 9.
Think anybody going to forgive him like they did Amber Geiser? Or that's just reserved for white women?
That's reserved. That particular thing is reserved for white women.
Okay.
Weinstein would have to. Well, he did apologize now, so I don't know. He did apologize. But he's also still claiming to be innocent, too. So, you know, I don't even know how that works. How the fuck you say you apologize for all the people you hurt, but at the same time say you ain't raped nobody? That's motherfucker. That's what the whole issue is.
You raping, bitch.
Right. You can't say I'm sorry for all the people I hurt, and the people you hurt are accusing you of raping them, but then I ain't raped nobody. Man, that those two things.
Yes, you did, bitch. Yeah, so that's one of Pastor Simmons' apologies.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Jumping out that window like I'm Pastor Simmons.
Hey man. Hey man. I'm trying to think of anything else that was on my mind. March 7th, man. Y'all know March 7th. We got the live podcast going down Tallahassee, Florida. Really happening. 6 p.m. Get your tickets. If you want to be in the building, ladies, I'm taking my shirt off. So if you want to see me with my shirt off, come get in the building. I'm talking about I have a fresh ball head and take my shirt off. So ladies, come see me take my shirt off. Tickets are free. Limited seating. So be one of the greats. Come on in and hop with us. We got some new. I saw some new tickets purchased this morning and the other day. So we filling up. So you better get your ticket, be part of it. So you won't be left out. You got to see little snippets and videos and stuff. But it's going down March 7th. Also, make sure y'all support Lessons from the Screen on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/LFTS. LFTS for Lessons from the Screen. Also support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/TheFix. Remember our podcast schedule every Monday, the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Wednesday, you're going to get this podcast, Freedom Train Podcast, as well as Shelby's World every Wednesday. Every Friday, you get Enigma Set Hour. And every Saturday, you get Lessons from the Screen. So, man, y'all make sure y'all rock with us. We on all podcast platforms. Website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. What you want to tell them, Pat?
In your motherfucking face.
In your motherfucking face. Hey, man. Like Gucci Man LaFleur, 2 fangs in the air. Because we up out of here. Hey.
Call me, call me, call me.